meet someone, to make a visit with somebody who was perhaps confined to their home. Maybe it was an elderly person who's in a nursing home and confined to that place much of the time. And you went to see them with your intent to try to be a blessing to them. I can testify to that experience. I've done that many times over the years. I've wandered my way into many nursing homes or gone to see people who were confined to their home and visit there. And I went with the intent, hoping to be a blessing to them, to pay them a visit, to encourage them. But by the time I left, I was the one who had been blessed. I was the one who had been encouraged because of their love for the Lord, their love for life, even though life had become rather small for them. It was confined. It had been limited. But yet, it was a blessing to me to be able to go see them. Have you ever had an experience like that? If not, I'm really kind of sorry for you that you've never had an experience like that. You need one. Or many, perhaps. Strangely, at the cross, we find an experience like this. As we come today to the third word from the pulpit of the cross, we find a moment something like what I have described. John gives us the third word from the cross. In his setting of the cross is actually a little different than the writers of the Synoptic Gospels. And that's not unusual for John. John's take on much of what happened was different, and that's why the other three are often compared together, and John is set apart as something that's different. But the way that John writes his story around this third word of the cross leaves some details a little shaky, perhaps not as clear as we would like for them to be. So let me read for you the text from John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, we find these words. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour the disciple took her into his own household. We find four women at the cross there to support Jesus. Or is it three? Or is it two? Well, John's writing actually is a little confusing when you look at it. He mentions two women without any names, and then he names two women. Scholars have tried to gain clarity as to exactly what John wrote. They have attempted to determine, is it two, or is it three, or is it four? Well, here are some possibilities. He said that there were two women present, and then he named them, some people have said. Kind of odd, because it means that Mary and then her sister would also be named Mary. What family would do that? George Foreman does not count. In case you do not know, George Foreman named all of his sons George Foreman. He just kept adding numbers after them. You would not do that to your daughters. Trust me, I have enough of them to know. You would not do that to your daughters. Some say there were three present, Mary and then her sister, who again would be named Mary. Doesn't make sense, or that there were four presents. Two of them are named and two of them are not named. When you read John in light of Matthew and Mark, the evidence supports, I think, that there are four women being present at the cross. And when you read them, there may have even been others who were there that were not named. All of the synoptic gospels mention women who were standing at a distance. But yet when we read John, these are close enough that Jesus can have interaction with them, so it may have been different groups even. Well, reading ancient documents can be unclear to us because they wrote a long time ago. Just as you would write a story today, in which, as you wrote the story and you, and current people of your time were going to read it, you would realize that they could fill in some details that you may leave out simply because they know something of the times in which you live. And John most likely wrote in the same way and could leave out some things, trusting that people would fill in the blanks along the way. John didn't know that anyone beyond the first readers of what he was writing would ever read it. He certainly didn't know that we in the 21st century would be reading what he wrote and then wondering questions, well, who is that and why didn't he make that more clear? And so we have to give John a little space for not being real clear in making it clear. And we've got to give ourselves some space to be a little uncomfortable with some ambiguity in the scriptures at times that we can't clear up all of the details. I think there were four women present. Mary, who was Jesus' mother, and her sister was there. No need to name the sister because the readers most likely knew exactly who Jesus was talking about. He didn't have to name her. But then you turn around and you've got two other Marys, and so he clarifies which one. There's four women, three of them are named Mary, so he's got to have some identification. It's almost like being named Jim at Emmanuel Baptist Church. All the writers indicate these women being present. Where are the disciples? They are not there. Jesus told them they wouldn't be. Despite the protest of Peter, they're not there. Jesus informed them that they would disappoint him, they would desert him, and they did. But of course, we find Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, would be there because this is her son, her baby. Jesus is her firstborn. We know that she has a number of others, but he holds that special place that no other child in your family can hold that's not the firstborn. They're just not saying that that one is the favorite. By gosh, I hope not. I'm the baby of the family. But yet, that there's just something special about the first one. I mean, we already find in the Bible that Mary is blessed and considered blessed. Remember, somebody cried out, "Blessed is the womb that carried you and the breasts that nursed you." She is held in high regard by many. She is present. Mary has showed up at the cross. This is the one chosen of God. Remember the visitation of the angel. Remember the announcement of a pregnancy and of a birth that would occur in a miraculous way. You remember those things. It was not long ago that we rehearsed them once again. And her response was, "May it be done unto me according to your word." Mary yielded herself to the will of God. She is the one who has known all along who this one is to be, but yet she has not understood it all the way through either. Mary probably questioned things, but she also pondered them in her heart. Luke tells us that specifically when he gives the birth account of Jesus and he describes the visit of the shepherds. You know, these men who may have had very little esteem in their day and time by most people, but Mary esteemed them. They told her marvelous things about her son. They recounted the story of the angel showing up to give them birth announcement, and then a host of heavenly angels around singing a song. And they shared this unbelievable event and something that occurred one time. Oh, it makes it special. She pondered all of those things in her heart, the Bible tells us. Did you expect to read anything different other than the presence of Mary at the cross? And then you have Mary Magdalene. Wow. Isn't she a contrast to Mary, the mother of our Lord? She is called Magdalene because the word means that she got out of prostitution. She expect she escaped that life. She knew the changed life that Jesus could bring to people. She knew the transformation that Jesus could bring in people's lives because she had experienced it. Her life is a reminder of the miraculous work of God and of the grace of Jesus in your life. Here is this former prostitute who hung out with Jesus. She loved Jesus. She gave the expensive gift of nard to anoint his feet, to wash them with her hair when no one else would stoop down to clean his feet. The disciples who had roamed the earth with Jesus would not do it at that gathering, and they wouldn't even do it when they observed the last Passover meal. The Pharisees sure were not going to do it. They were the high and mighty religious leaders of their day, and serving others was beneath them. So she did it. And she didn't even have a towel, so she wiped his feet with her hair. Yes, Mary Magdalene shows up at the cross. Her presence at the cross is beautiful. Her transformed life gives hope for the rest of us. Her presence at the cross shows us anyone is welcome at the cross. Then you have the aunt, the sister of Mary. Jesus' aunt was there. She loved him. She also loved her sister. She wanted to support her sister and her nephew. Then you have Mary of Clopas. Well, or is it the wife of Clopas? It depends on which translation you read, the way it reads out, but yet it doesn't say anything that she's a wife when John writes it in the Greek that we read, or that some of us would read. It doesn't say wife in there at all. I don't know why they do that. It's just Mary of Clopas, another woman present. So it's a good thing that John gives clarifying indications about these women that are there, all of these women named Mary. It reminds me of the year my mother was teaching first grade with four girls in her classroom named Jennifer. Four girls, yep. It wasn't very long into the school year until they determined that some designation was going to have to be given so that they could distinguish between all four of these girls. Well, it really happened naturally. The kids in the classroom started calling them by different things that were fitting. And in fact, one of the girls was named Jennifer Jones. And she went to our church. I remember her, this little bitty girl. I actually worked for her dad one summer. Yep, you guessed it. She was called JJ all the way through school. They just found a way to do that. We're thankful that John distinguishes all of these Marys. But here's a question. Blessing or blessed? These women have showed up to support Jesus. They have also come to support Mary, the mother. Maybe they were there more for Mary than they were for Jesus, actually. But the mother, she was there for Jesus. She went to be a blessing to her boy. That's what parents do. It reminds me of an event on the opposite end of the life spectrum, a birth. The birth of our twins. Valerie's parents came to our house and they stayed for 2 weeks. Yes, I was excited about that. You heard that. My mother-in-law was in my house for 2 weeks. Yes. And they were getting ready to leave. And my father-in-law looked at me and said, it must have shown up in my face. He said, "We will be back." I was relieved. I was thankful for that, you know, that blessing or blessed. Yes, we were blessed because they were there. Mary went away from the cross being blessed. Why? Why is she the one that is blessed? Well, her son, enduring the cruelest death imaginable and all of the agony that goes with it, took careful care to see for her well-being. It happens with John. Jesus looked and saw that his mother, and then he saw one disciple, John, Yes, John. John would be the one who would show up, wouldn't he? John, the beloved disciple. He would be the one who would be there, but Jesus didn't see any of the others. They've all gone away, except for one, the beloved one. Just so you know, there are some who believe that the sister of Mary, the aunt of Jesus, was the mother of John and, of course, James. She would have been the mom of the sons of thunder. Wouldn't you like that, Mom? Your boys are called the sons of thunder. Could you imagine what it was like in the kitchen at your household, or in the living room, or in the garage, or the number of times that you put them out the door and locked it behind them because you wanted them outside? But isn't that interesting? If that's true, I don't know that it is, and we don't really have any way to know for sure, but it makes my imagination run wild about Jesus and John as boys. And perhaps a relationship formed on the hillsides in Galilee long before anybody else really knew who Jesus was. But we do know this. John is the beloved disciple. He is the only disciple present. He's the only one who shows up at the cross. Well, we could have a variety of responses to that. We could have a response that wants to criticize and blame the other disciples. Well, many have done that. On the other hand, we could praise John for showing up. We can see why he is the beloved one in that relationship that causes him to show up. We see how special the relationship is between Jesus and John. Was it dangerous for John to be there? I don't know if it was dangerous for him or not. Would it have been easier to not show up? Yes and no. It could have been easy. But if you are a friend, don't you show up when it's the hardest? When Valerie's parents died in a car wreck, five friends came to the visitation the night before the funeral, an hour and a half away, and then came back the day of the funeral. One of those friends came to see us the day we learned of their death, and then he called me every day, and then following the funeral, he called me every day for 2 weeks, just like that was normal. I talked to him a lot, just not that often. You'll know your friends. Tracy Lawrence sings a verse in his song, Find Out Who Your Friends Are, that says this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the cream is going to rise. This is what you really don't know. This is where the truth don't lie. You find out who your friends are. Jesus knew because of presence. When he looked down and he saw John standing by Mary, he knew. He knew who his friend was. John gave the ministry of presence. How many of you have faced needing to show up at somebody's home, somebody's place of work, to show up somewhere there's a crisis going on, there's been a death, there's been something dramatic that has happened, and you know you need to be there, and you're headed there, but you're going, what do I say? Have you ever found yourself doing that? I'll raise my hand, because I have to show up in those kinds. I'll raise my hand. What do I say? What do? I might be a little uncomfortable. It may be a little awkward. Yes, to all of the above. But showing up does something. Being present does a lot. You don't have to worry about all the words you're going to say. You don't have to worry about all of the things to do. You show up. James is my dear friend. We have been friends since high school. We became friends even though we both went to small schools that competed against one another in basketball and baseball. But we became friends. Twice in my adult life, I've had to conduct funerals for close family members. And twice I have looked up to see James present. He didn't have to do anything else. He showed up. John showed up at the cross. And since John was there, Jesus could take the opportunity to bless his mother. It went like this. He looked at Mary, his mother, and said, "Woman, behold your son." And then he looked at John and said, "Behold your mother." The words were few. He didn't have a lot of breath. He couldn't say a whole lot, most likely. But the meaning was clear, even though the words were few. He didn't need to say a whole lot more. And then John includes a line that lets us know everything was clear. He lets us know that there was a clarity about it and that there was an exactness of the execution. For John writes, "And from that hour, the disciple received her as his own." This would mean that John would take Mary to his house, to his home, and treat her as his own mother. Mary was most likely a widow at this point. We don't hear anything at all about Joseph. And history tells us most likely Joseph had already died. And John would provide the support that she needed. He'd provide a safe home and food to eat, but those are just the practical elements. There would be so much more. Only our imaginations could tell us what might have gone on in that home with the mother of our Savior and the home of the beloved disciple. But those imaginations are informed by our own experience. For you see, they would share the memories of Jesus. Can't you just imagine them around the table sharing stories? Maybe at times John telling some stories about Jesus. When Mary wasn't present for some reason because they were out, the disciples were with them and she wasn't around. Or Mary reminiscing about scenes from childhood, and that if Jesus and John really knew one another when they were little boys, the things they may have done that maybe were foggy for John. Your imagination could go wild, sure. But yet we see John taking Mary into his own home to care for her, just as Jesus desired. Jesus lives out the fifth commandment with this word from the cross to Mary. The fifth commandment says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Honor your father and mother. Interestingly, it says that your days may be prolonged, and he does this as he hangs on a cross with his life being cut short. In order to honor your parents, are all of you who are children paying attention? Don't just look at the little ones. Maybe sometimes the adult ones need this word as much as anybody. For I will tell to you, it has gotten my attention this week as an adult son. In order to honor your parents, it's necessary to give them a place of precedence, a place of priority in your life. You demonstrate it through actions that you take and words that you say, certainly. You show up to be with them at times. You spend time with them. You help them. You obey them. You seek their wisdom and you follow the advice that is born out of their knowledge. Jesus took some action with his words. He committed his mother to the beloved disciple. And under the circumstances, he couldn't do anything physically for her, obviously, but he could express a priority place that she had in his life by making sure that she would have care and companionship. That somebody would be there to care for her and she would not be alone. This is the In contrast to the religious leaders that were killing Jesus, Jesus confronted them on one occasion because they were not caring for their parents. The scene's found in John 15. It says this, "Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they did not wash their hands when they eat bread.' And he answered and said to them, 'Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?'" That's not the answer they were looking for, trust me. For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of his father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this, you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The same group who accused Jesus of blasphemy and were putting him to death on the cross as the worst of all criminals were people who would not take care of their parents. They did so under the ruse that they were giving to God, and they did not have anything left to give to their parents, and they did not honor them. The lack of honoring their parents reveals an absence of character. Jesus, by his life and action, at this most difficult point in his life, models for us the character that we are to have, that we are to possess and display in our own lives. If we cannot do so toward our parents, then we will not and cannot do so toward others. The very place you begin is at home with your family. It's so important to God that He established it at the core of our faith. Jesus showed us the importance by His own actions. As we come to the end, let me ask you some questions. First of all, let me ask you this. Are you being faithful to the commands of God even when it's most difficult? Not just when it's easy, but when it's difficult. God has given us commands, and Jesus has told us that if we love Him, we'll keep His commandments. Do you think about that? Do you think about that when you want to question whether you should do that or not, or whether you really want to do that or not? Nothing in the commands that we are given from Scriptures says anything about that we are exempted when the circumstances are difficult. It just says that we are to keep the commands. The second question is, are you showing up in the places where you need to be present, even though it's difficult? It had to be hard for all of those women and for John to show up at the cross. But they did the right thing. Are you? Do you realize that you can show up at the cross? One of the things I love about this story is the presence of Mary Magdalene, because she reminds us that anyone is welcome at the cross. You're welcome at the cross. Jesus welcomes us. On the other hand, some of us who may have had a life quite the contrast to Mary Magdalene may think we actually deserve to be there. Not without the grace of Jesus. And maybe you haven't taken time to thank Him for His grace in your life. And maybe you need to do that this day. But if you're wondering, would Jesus welcome me? Yes. Yes. Jesus has His circumstances. He says that we must believe that He is Lord and confess Him. And confess our sins and admit that we are in need of Him. And He says He will forgive you. And He will save you. If you've never done that, I invite you to do so today.